Let's do it.
You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And today, I'm joined by a very special guest. One of the players I've been excited to watch you play for a long time. You could ask anybody around. I've been the Jared Vanderbilt hype guy now for about 12 months. So my guest, Jared Vanderbilt. Jared, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So my first question is, we've been calling you at the site Vando Vandy. Is there a nickname you prefer?
Everybody used to call me Vando. Some coaches call me like JV, but Vando is probably the most popular.
How short of a vacation did you get after the regular season? Did you go right into workouts, or did you take some time to do some fun stuff?
I took like 3 to 5 days off because we didn't have that much time because we had to start summer league workouts. But I took about half a week off and then we right back in the gym. So
did you go anywhere?
I just went back home for a little while. Went to Chicago. I got family out there, and then I came right back here.
You got anything lined up for like August or September? I mean, you got to unwind. It's been a long season.
I'm gonna definitely go back home after summer league for a little while. I got a camp going down August 2nd,
nice.
So I'll be out there for a while. I think I got to go to rookie transition this year. So
okay,
it's gonna be a pretty busy summer.
So back home to Houston, we're gonna do to start things off, a calibration. Gonna ask you to compare Denver and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Better food,
Houston,
by a long shot.
For sure.
What is the food?
I think it's just like more mixture of everything. Like Houston's a very diverse city,
yeah.
So it's like it's different cultures. We got the soul food, the Spanish food, Chinese food. Like it's a lot of regions in Houston, so I feel like we just got a diverse spread of everything.
Denver's not that diverse like for food. The green chili is like the only thing Denver's
it's not as diverse. They don't get me wrong, there's some good restaurants out here, but
yeah.
It's not like most of the restaurants here are like 5-star restaurants. It's not like,
yeah.
You can't really just go to like a hole in the wall and get like good
right,
food.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can do that in Houston.
There's a good Mexican hole in the walls. I think that's the only thing. Taco stands maybe, mm-hmm. but better weather.
I would say Denver, just because Houston is just so humid, it's hot. And then Denver's weather wasn't, like they said, the winter wasn't that bad last year, so I would say Denver as of now.
Yeah. The weather was pretty bad, I think, actually. I think this winter was
is bad?
Yeah, this was bad. It's usually not as, I think, as steep. Better traffic.
Who has better traffic?
You'd
rather drive through?
Yeah, they have to drive through. I guess worse traffic is probably the better
way. I would say who has worse traffic? I would say Houston has worse traffic, but Denver has his days where, like,
yeah.
It's back bump-to-bump traffic, but I'd say Houston for sure.
Are you in the city?
Yeah, I'm right in the city,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Better mountains.
Oh, man. For sure, Denver, Houston.
I was worried these were going to all be Houston, so I had to put something in there.
Houston is flat as they come.
Nicer people.
Like, friendlier people? Probably Denver.
Really?
Yeah, Houston just, it's a cool city, but they're not as friendly out there.
Yeah. So let's go back to Kentucky, because you joined the team in January,
mm-hmm.
and was there a message Coach Cal had to you at that point that was just, hey, we want you to focus on this thing or that thing, or he just say, play your game?
I mean, it was a point where he was like, just play my game, do whatever, but it also came to the fact that it was hard for him and me to try to integrate mid-season after, everybody had already got accustomed to each other and, played like 20-some games, so it was hard trying to throw me in there. And, trying to find, the right role, the right place for me. So, to simplify it, he was like, he kind of moved me, to playing like the 4-5 and just being, being a versatile guy and just really just going out there and play. I mean, there wasn't really much plays for me because of that time of the season, it's tough for anybody. So, but I mean, it worked out pretty good.
Was rebounding like an emphasis for him, or was that just something you said, I can do this?
I think it was for me because, he honestly didn't even know I was, like, that tenacious of a rebounder. Because I showed flashes in high school, like, I grabbed rebounds, but I was never, like, going after every board. So
right.
I just kind of made that my niche because I felt like that was one thing I can control. And, one way I can get the ball and impact the game was rebounding every single time. So, once it came to that, he was like, just make that one of your niches. Like, just go out there, play hard, be versatile defensively, and just grab boards, and the rest, everything else will come or be an extra. Yeah.
Can a player rebound like you did and also do all the other things that, that you can do on a court, or is it sometimes you have to pick your spots when to handle, when to be in the dunker or whatever?
I mean, I feel like it's, you're capable of – I mean, I'm capable of doing all of it, so I feel like, you know, it's possible, but you just have to be in a great motor for that, and I feel like that was one of the things – I wasn't quite in shape.
Yeah.
I came mid-season, so I wasn't in game shape. So it took me a little while for that. But, I mean, it's tough. That's not easy trying to, you know, crash the glass every time, bring the ball up, push it, and be one of the leaders of defensively, you know, talking and stuff. So it takes a lot of energy and, you know, high motor to do that. So that's what I've been working on, trying to, you know, get back to 100% and, you know, just working on motor.
How would you describe Coach Cal's coaching style?
As far as just in general?
Just in general.
I mean, I like his coaching style because it's not necessarily designed for one person. I feel like he designs it where, like, everybody can, you know, eat and be successful. And, you know, he kind of breaks it down. Everybody has their own role. But you're also kind of free in what you do. But, like, you know, just in a role a little bit. But, like I said, I just like the fact that he kind of runs the NBA offense. He lets you play and prepares you for the next level. So,
yeah. What was your first meeting like? You're getting to Denver. What was your first meeting like with Malone and Tim Conley? Do you remember the conversations you had?
Yeah, the first time they was really just, you know, they was raving about me, you know, my rebound and my instincts and stuff like that. Because I think they wasn't really planning on drafting anybody last year.
Right.
And then they said they was just excited because I ended up slipping and dropping, you know, some spots. So they felt like I was at the top of their board. So. You know, they kept expressing that to me. So, you know, I was just, you know, grateful to fall to a, you know, a great opportunity.
Well, I know it's true because I heard the name. That's how I first come to know you, was in the draft, just kind of poking around. Did you know that you were a, you know, a quote-unquote analytics darling, that according to all the models and everything, you jumped off?
I mean, and that's where it's funny because it's like I didn't think I had a great year at all. Like, you know, just, you know, from my personal liking. But it just seemed like I was at the top of everything come analytic-wise. And it's just – you know, it's just crazy to think about, like, even though you think you're not playing good or even vice versa, you can think you're playing good, but analytics will say you wasn't playing that good. So, yeah, so like you said, analytically, I was up there in pretty much every chart, you know, defensively and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
it turned out great.
How would you describe your experience with Michael Malone? Like, what's his personality and coaching like, and how is it different from Coach Cal's personality?
I wouldn't say their personality is pretty different. They kind of have like the same kind of like coaching style, I would say. I feel like Malone is a player's coach too as well.
Yeah.
And it's hard to come by in the NBA because, you know, I feel like it's more common in college just because they're young guys, I feel like you can come together and listen to coach. But, you know, having a lot of veteran guys and, you know, guys from everywhere, and to really have trust in your coach, I feel like he's earned the trust of us as a team. And so, and he also communicates with us. It's not like a dictatorship. He kind of, you know, he listens out to this players, what is their thoughts, and we kind of, you know, come together and, you know, talk about it. So that's what I like about Coach Malone. I mean, he kind of did the same thing Cal was doing, so.
Did you feel like coming here, because this roster is so young, is it helpful having guys closer to your age? Because I always think about this. You come in the league at 19 years old. If there's a roster full of 35, 37-year-olds, like, that's a generation apart.
Exactly.
Is it helpful having, I don't know, 10 guys that are basically your age?
No, it is. I feel like that's why we're such a great team, because, like, we actually hang out outside of the court and, like, you know, bond together. I was talking to Mason Plumlee. He was telling me, like, when he was a rookie, all of his best were like 38, 35, 36, and they were just all old. So it was like a kind of like a disconnection between, like, you know, just the older guys and young guys, because, you know, they wasn't really relating on a lot of stuff. So, but I feel like it's a lot different here. You know, everybody's around the same age. You know, we hang around, we do the same stuff. So, you know, it's great.
How long did it take you to start clicking with guys? Like, were they reaching out right when you were drafted? Was it not till October or September, whenever camp was?
I mean, some of the younger guys like Monte and Tori and all those, those guys kind of reached out as soon as I got drafted. I already knew Mike.
Yeah.
And I knew Tom a little bit from playing him in college. So, you know, I knew some of the team already. So, but, yeah, they reached out when we got here. And, yeah.
Does anybody on earth not know Monte? I think everybody knows Monte Morris.
I mean, Monte just one of those guys. I mean, he just kind of just know everybody, or he just not saying friendly, but he's, you know, just sociable and just kind of just knows everybody. So
his summer league last year, he was the most popular player at summer league. Yeah, like everybody showed up to sit courtside, not just Nuggets, but everybody around the league. Sure. Man, this guy.
He was actually the first one to reach out to me when I got here. So
a true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got to spend some time with Bol Bol at all?
Not as much. I mean, he was here a couple days last week, but I think he went home for the weekend, so we didn't really get to hang out much. But I mean, I'm looking forward to hanging out. He looks like a real cool dude, and, you know, decided to get to work.
So I want to ask you about player comps. Obviously, every player is different, but is there a player, first of all, that you sort of idolized growing up that was like, man, that's what I'm going to try to mold myself after?
There was a few players, you know. I watched a lot of, like, Lamar Odom. Penny Hardaway.
Just my dude, Lamar.
Lamar is one of my favorite players. Just being a lefty, being able to do the type of stuff he do at his size, I feel like I can, you know, model my game after that. Penny, also just being a big guard, being able to handle it, push the rock, stuff like that. So, you know, those two of my...
Penny and Mike Miller, I keep saying this, in Memphis, man, if I was a blue chipper, I wouldn't take any visits. I'd go straight to hang out with those dudes.
That's a tough one to turn down.
What about, I've heard of Ben Simmons comp before.
Yeah,
do you like that one?
Yeah. I watch a lot of Ben Simmons now too, but you know, just him being a big guard, being able to put the ball on the floor, push in transition, and you know, being able to be an occasional point guard as well. So he's also a good comparison.
Pascal Siakam, what do you think of him? You guys have like the same body, I think, same height, weight.
No, I like Pascal. I mean, I've been watching him a lot more this year.
Yeah,
you know, than in the past. Mainly his motor, stuff like that. I want to implement, you know, one of his motor. I feel like he has one of the highest motors in the league. But he's a very versatile guy as well. Can, you know, guard 1 through 5, push the ball, you know, knock down open shots. So, I mean, he's the most improved player. So, I mean, he's a great guy.
You take that. Look, this one you probably don't know, LaPhonso Ellis.
I've heard that comp before. Somebody said, told me.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I
was going to get you.
I haven't really.
Yeah. He's a Nuggets legend. I would say a legend. He's, lefty as well. Yeah, tall, versatile. Okay. Will your family be out in Vegas?
Yeah, they'll be out there.
Who all be out there?
Pretty much everybody. My immediate family, brother, sister, mom. I mean, they really haven't really legit seen me play in like a year or two, so I'm pretty sure everybody be out there. They'll be excited.
What kind of fans are they? Are they screaming at you during the game? Or they, like, there's a lot of different type of player parent.
I mean, my mom is. She kind of, you know, she gets sometimes she gets really excited.
Yeah.
And she just started yelling and stuff. My brother's kind of like just the cool one, just, you know, motivational one, I guess. But
The Beasleys, I think, are very loud. The Beasleys, can
hear them. Yeah, for sure. They always like the party. You look up and see his mom on the big screen. But, that's a good sight to see.
All right, I'll wrap this up with some fun ones, man. Just kind of, again, wanting to get to know your personality here, so some favorites. Favorite basketball team growing up?
Favorite basketball team? I would say the Rockets.
Is there
being from Houston.
A year? Like a specific team you loved?
I mean, I loved Steve Francis when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of T-Mac and Yao, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of drew me into a fan.
Those ones. Mm-hmm. Favorite meal?
Favorite meal? Being from the South, I'm going to just say, like, soul food, anything soul food,
Favorite car?
Favorite car? I would say a Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce?
Yeah, like a race or something.
Maybe on the horizon?
Yeah.
Favorite hobby outside of basketball?
Favorite hobby? I would say just traveling in general, like going to see new places. Particularly like out the country or some stuff like that. So.
What kind of traveling? Is like beach traveling, or are you trying to like city, you know, history?
Both. I mean, like I want to go to beaches like too, but also just going to like London, Spain, or Serbia, or somewhere else. Just, you know, just learning new stuff, checking out new cultures and stuff like that. So
we got to get Altitude to film you going to Serbia.
They was thinking about some having some of the young guys maybe go to Serbia or something. Or Spain or somewhere, like a trip.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm down with it.
It has to happen. I think Gary's like a world traveler now. I'm watching his Instagram.
Yeah, Gary.
He just has to be okay with it.
All right. So do you have a favorite like spot you've been, a favorite vacation place? Mexico, Hawaii, or something like that?
I like the Bahamas. I feel like the Bahamas is this is a great place.
Yeah. Favorite movie?
Favorite movie?
You don't have one on the top of your head, so there can't be like a
single favorite. It ain't like a top one. It's like three or four that's probably kind of up there.
Let's hear it.
Like Friday, American Gangster.
Friday was like made, what, 10 years before you were born?
Yeah, it was. I still
still a classic.
Watch it like once a week. But
once a week?
Yeah, I like them too. What I said? Men in Black. I mean, not Men in Black. Bad Boys.
Yeah, it's a little different.
I don't even like Men in Black. It's Bad Boys.
What about dogs or cats?
Dogs, for sure.
Weight training or conditioning?
Conditioning.
Really? Yeah. I just heard you on Katie's podcast talking about how miserable the conditioning workout was at Red Rocks.
Nah, it was tough because I, you know, it took a little week or two off, so coming back, Red Rocks killed me, but... I mean, I used to run like cross country and stuff.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was younger. So
my theory is people that run cross country never fall out of shape. If you make it through like one season, you're in shape for life.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I used to be. But then once I got hurt a couple times, you know, you have to sit out like 3-4 months or whatever. So it took me a little time to get back in shape.
Do you know your fastest 5K time?
I do not. Honestly, like we had, I had to run in middle school because that was the only way we could like play basketball.
Really?
Play, yeah.
I would have quit basketball.
I kind of just ran it for fun. I ain't really.
Early mornings or late nights?
For what? Like just.
Just in general, like where are you most energized?
I would say I'm a night owl. I say late night.
Yeah. Formal or casual?
Casual.
All right, well, this is the last one. Last play of the game, would you rather be up one and on defense or down one and on offense?
I would say up one because I got confident we're going to get a stop. So I'm going to say up one.
Are you drawing the number one assignment?
Mm.
Are you drawing the assignment? If you're down one, are you saying I got – you want help side or you want on-ball defense?
Let me see. We down one. Are we up one?
You're up one.
I want on ball defense.
I love it.
I got to get that stop.
Nice. Jared, really excited to look forward to watching you this next week and really into the season, man. Like I said, I've been a big fan, and I think MPJ put this on. Time to wake him up. I think it's true for you, too.
So sure. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else will be back again tomorrow with brand new episodes.
Thank you for listening to the Locked on Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.